The Democrats showing their true colors in that ridiculous budget proposal that we got. I mean, they want to hike taxes on pretty much everyone, although they say it's only going to be for the super wealthy. The super wealthy, of course, they get to determine who's actually the super wealthy. They also want to make sure that you can't invest in anything, right? Because you're going to get charged more taxes if anything in your portfolio, including what, your home, goes up in value. Homes go up, homes go down. Just because your neighbor sells for twice the amount you bought your house for shouldn't mean that you have to pay the difference in the taxes. Come on. But you know what? It's important that we recognize this all, because what this tells you is that you've got a bunch of socialists, dare I even say communists, running things there in the White House. This is the new Democrat Party of today. The scariest thing is that they have not only the ability to squash any kind of thought that they don't want to hear, right? We've been living that every single day, probably since 2018. After Donald Trump won, midway through that election, they started flipping out. And that's why you saw all the shadow banning on Twitter. You saw it on Facebook. You see it everywhere, right? That's what was going on. And we're continuing to see all of it, to the point where you can't even have a real intellectual debate about where COVID actually originated. You know, I mean, there just happens to be that little laboratory in Wuhan, China, where it first broke out. That's neither here nor there, because you see, truth is neither here nor there. Well, this matters right now. One, because it's affecting all of us in terms of our lifestyles, in terms of the values that we hold so dear. And it's also affecting you because it's going to have a big impact on your pocketbook. This ESG stuff, environmental social governance, this is the left's attempt to control everything, including your financial future. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the program. I am Trish Regan. If you have not, please make sure you go to my website, trishintel.com. Sign up for my newsletter there. Make sure you have subscribed to this channel if you have not already on YouTube. Make sure you subscribe to the full audio version of the podcast on Apple, iTunes. It's great to have you here. Welcome. Hopefully this isn't getting shadow banned right now. It probably is. Anyway, portions of the program are brought to you by Legacy Precious Metals. If you're interested in investing in gold right now, if you're worried about inflation, take a look at them over at legacypminvestments.com. You can get a free investing guide. But this is a big deal. We're starting to see some conservatives, especially some conservative states, fight back. They're fighting back because you see all the retirement funds for all their government employees are invested in these very big firms that are effectively controlling the world. I mean, you think Biden's in charge, there's somebody else you need to meet. Mr. Larry Fink, who really caught on to this idea. I mean, I've known him many years. He's very enthusiastic about it, but why wouldn't you be? I mean, if you can sell the entire world on this whole thought that you have to invest in this because we say so, and you just happen to run the largest asset management company in the world with nearly the size of U.S. GDP under management, well, then I guess you get away with stuff like this. Take a listen.
Behaviors are going to have to change, and this is one thing we're asking companies. You have to force behaviors, and at BlackRock, we are forcing behaviors.
Markets don't like uncertainty. Markets like actually totalitarian governments where you have a understanding of what's out there. And obviously the whole dimension is changing.
Excuse me? Markets like totalitarian governments? What planet am I living on? I mean, Joe Biden the other day, you heard him say that conservatives want to defund the police. Conservatives.
And so folks, look, MAGA Republicans are calling for defunding the police departments and defunding the FBI now. That's a good one. I like that one. Well, guess what? And they refuse to provide funding that's going to keep communities safe and secure.
And Larry Fink, who runs the largest asset management firm in the world, thinks that totalitarian governments are the best for markets. I mean, maybe they're the best for Larry, but not for markets. No, I'm sorry. Anyway, something's got to give, because when Larry Fink or any other CEO is telling the rest of America where they can put their money and where they can't, not based on profits, by the way, not based on anything real, just based on, well, do you have a high enough ESG rating? Do you have enough diversity on your board? Do you have, you know, a green enough footprint? Well, that's when we, I guarantee you, we'll begin to lose our edge. I mean, we've already lost our edge. That's very, very evident. You've seen all the studies that have come out recently saying, look, you know, if we were in a real conflict with China today, it is not certain that we would win that. We don't have the edge that we've had in the past. And it's because we've gotten a little soft. And it's not just on the cultural front, which I talk about. Go see the episode, Brainwashing Your Kids. I want you to watch that. It's on the YouTube channel. It's in the Apple podcast, because that's a big part of it. But the other part of it is what's happening from a financial perspective on Wall Street, with the bigwigs telling us what we can and cannot invest in. Actually, you don't even get a decision here, because they're telling the retirement funds where you probably have your money what can be invested in. And that has a very artificial effect on the overall markets. Well, joining me here today to discuss all of it, I have Justin Haskins. Justin Haskins from the Socialism Research Center. This is basically socialism or totalitarianism. Justin, welcome.
Yeah, it's great to be with you.
I'm so excited, first of all, because you're from New Hampshire, and I don't meet a lot of people from New Hampshire, because I'm from New Hampshire and it's this little teeny tiny state. And not only are you from New Hampshire, you like grew up a town away from me.
Yeah. And we just found out about this for the first time.
I know. Well, live free or die.
That's right. Live free or die.
Yeah. It's a value I champion. And I know you do too. Although you wouldn't think it, because you are the director of the quote Socialism Research Center. I bet that throws a lot of people.
Yeah, it does. And it's worked to my advantage sometimes. You know, every once in a while, I can trick some socialists into thinking I might be pro-socialist, and it helps me get some good quotes. Mm-hmm. But yeah, we're researching socialism, but we're not in favor of it. We're very much against it. Our flagship website is stoppingsocialism.com, if that kind of gives away where we stand. And I've also written a book called Socialism is Evil. So another kind of giveaway that we're not exactly in favor of it. So
listen, we're watching this whole ESG thing unfold. I've been watching it for years, 12, 13 years, 14 years ago, probably. I thought, well, that's quaint. That's cute. They want to invest in like green energy companies for the future, and that's sort of their niche. And this many years later, it's like the only way to go. It has been taken over, that idea, which seemed quaint and sweet because you can invest in things you like. It has become a kind of cancel culture unto itself at a corporate level. And my fear is that if this continues, we will lose our capitalist edge. We might as well just surrender now to China, because believe me, China's concerned about profits. Walk me through this evolution, if you would. What ESG really is, for those who don't understand it, and your take on how it's going to affect capitalism.
Yeah. So ESG is something, as you've said, it's interesting. Most people think it's a new thing. It's actually not a new thing. It's been around for a long, long time. And
probably
a bunch
even
of
longer than
14
iterations. Years ago. It's just the first time I heard of it.
Yeah, without a doubt. I mean, you can find quotes from people like Klaus Schwab, the head of the World Economic Forum, talking about this very concept. He didn't call it ESG back in the 1970s. Called it stakeholder capitalism or stakeholder theory. The idea that shareholders shouldn't come first when we're looking at how to prioritize things in businesses. Instead, the stakeholders, which is just another way of saying collectivists or the collective, should be the focus of what businesses are doing. So businesses should put the collective first. It's a way of sort of socializing businesses. Now, they'll say that they're doing this because they care about the planet, they care about fighting climate change, they care about wealth inequality and racial inequalities and all these different things. But the fact of the matter is, and this is a well-documented fact, they are making lots and lots and lots of money off of this. It's a scheme. It's a gigantic Ponzi scheme. It's one of the world's largest Ponzi schemes, in fact. The government prints lots of money. They create regulations that benefit people who have high ESG scores. This is starting to happen all over the world, especially in Europe. But we're starting to see this in America as well. Central banks are pumping trillions and trillions of dollars into the economic system. The banks are then using ESG scores and as well as credit ratings agencies like Moody's and Fitch Ratings and all these others to make sure that the quote unquote good companies, the people who have high ESG scores, are getting access to the capital first or at lower interest rates, or they're getting some sort of beneficial arrangement. You're starting to see whole industries, because of low ESG scores, being phased out of long-term plans for banks and financial institutions. So fundamentally, ESG is a way to control and manipulate the economy. And it's tightly, it's intertwined with left-wing causes, at least right now. But really, this is about elites controlling society, manipulating capitalism. This isn't really even capitalism at all, manipulating the market economy so that they can make social changes and make a whole bunch of money on the side. And that's really what ESG is all about. It's cronyism, it's corruption, and it's a way for elites to make more money while having more power.
Sure. No, and look, I mean, BlackRock has really specialized in it. And the guy that ran the whole ESG division went over into the White House and became head of the National Council of Economic Advisors for Joe Biden. So you see that revolving door, right, between the largest asset management company in the world with nearly the amount of America's GDP under management. They're running this ESG thing, and look, like, if you're a company that doesn't fit their criteria for being environmentally friendly, socially friendly, all this governance that they got in there, then they're not going to allow their funds to invest in you. Well, we're starting to see funds, especially pension funds in states all over the country, start to call BS on this, right? They're like, well, wait a second. This is not in line with what I think. Florida's done it. Kansas is doing it. Texas is doing it. Is that what it's going to take?
Well, I mean, I think it's a good place to start. So there's a bunch of ways that ESG is being used to manipulate and control society. One of it is through these big asset managers, as you said, like BlackRock. Vanguard was involved in this for a very long time, although there's some news that came out that maybe they're backing off on that. I don't know. State Street Global
maybe
Advisors.
Maybe they're figuring out,
one.
By the way, Justin, sorry to interrupt, but the market's going down, right? The market's going yeah. down, and now they're like, oh, wait a second. Like, if we don't just have this ethereal money getting printed from the Federal Reserve, if we actually have to be responsible about our investments, maybe, just maybe, we want the companies that are going to actually earn money as opposed to the companies that we pick and choose because we think they deserve a lofty valuation because of ESG yeah. stuff.
Yeah, exactly. And for years, pensions in red states and blue states alike, at an overwhelming rate, have been pouring their money into these institutions that are actively promoting ESG, even in situations where they're deliberately trying to undermine industries that these states are dependent on. So you've started to see state governments, not the pension funds themselves, because many of the pension funds are still run by people who like this ESG stuff. But you're starting to see governments, leaders of governments, state treasurers and governors like Ron DeSantis and others, Riley Moore in West Virginia, step up and say, okay, we're done with this because we're not going to continue to use public funds to promote left-wing causes. That's a good start. That's a really good start. But ESG is much bigger than just pension funds. It's much bigger than even asset managers like BlackRock. ESG has been utilized by banks and financial institutions, insurance companies and others, to withhold banking services from people on the basis of their ESG scores. We're starting to see this being rolled out. As I mentioned earlier, Moody's and Fitch Ratings and others build this into bond valuation so that your bond rating is actually tied both for governments and for private institutions in part to what your ESG score is. So your access to capital, your access to banking services, all of this is being tainted at the very least by ESG. And in some cases, you're being wholesale cut out of the process. And banks are not just doing this on a case-by-case level. In some situations, it's whole industries like gun manufacturing, for example, in certain cases. And recently, within the past couple of years, all of the largest banks in the United States, all of them, JP Morgan Chase, Bank of America, Wells Fargo, Morgan Stanley, et cetera, have come out and said, over the next XYZ number of years, they all have different ways of doing this, they're going to phase out all fossil fuels from their entire business models, not just what they're doing, like Bank of America, you know, not just where they get their energy, but also from their lending portfolios, from their banking services. So if you're a delivery service company in 10 years and you're still using gasoline powered cars, you're not getting a loan, you're not getting insurance. That's a huge part of this as well. And that needs to be addressed from policymakers if we're going to have any chance at all of stopping this.
It seems really, really unfair. And instead of, you know, the market dictating and consumers dictating where we go and having a say in all this, you've got the government and the elites, you say, because by the way, this could happen on either side. I mean, that's what people forget, right? It's happening right now because the left is in charge and the left is forcing these issues, but it could just as easily happen with another group of people. I don't think that we, and again, I say we, you and me, New Hampshire people, live free or die. We don't like the idea of big government making all the decisions, especially when it comes to businesses. And the idea of shutting companies off from being able to get a loan, from being able to succeed when consumers may want their products, there's something extremely wrong with it.
Yeah, without a doubt. ESG, by its very definition, is anti-market. They'll say it's pro-capitalism. That's how they present it. But it's not. Because if ESG, the only reason ESG exists is because they want to create a whole nother set of non-market based metrics to apply to these companies so that we can coerce them to doing things that they normally wouldn't do. For example, one of the craziest instances of this is that a metric that's commonly used is water usage and land usage. So the more water you're using and the more land you're using, the lower your ESG score is. Well, that applies to big corporate farms. Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, if you're a farm, we want you producing as much food as you could possibly sell. That's what we want from farms. Mm-hmm. But they're actually being incentivized financially to limit the amount of water they're using and the amount of land they're using, which means the amount of food they're producing on purpose. We're giving them money. We're actually incentivizing them financially to do something that the market does not dictate, and that completely goes against
like the
their 1930s. Business model. Without a
right.
doubt, that's the thing. You touched on it earlier. This actually is not a left versus right thing. This is an elites versus everybody else thing. That's what this is about. And they could just as easily change the metrics tomorrow to favor a bunch of right-wing causes. It has nothing to do with that. This is about how decisions are being made. Is it being made by a centralized group of few really powerful institutions and individuals, or in government and central banks all colluding together, or is it going to be regular people making the decisions?
No, and that indeed is the issue. Look, capitalism isn't perfect. I get it. My thanks again to Justin Haskins. I mean, this is just crazy. Well, I have a little bit of good news. I want to tell you about COVIDtaxrelief.org. This is a company with more than 300 CPAs that are working nonstop to try and recover you any money that they possibly can if you were a business owner that stayed open during COVID. In other words, if you did the right thing and you kept people employed, even just two people employed, you can qualify for up to $26,000 per employee, and COVIDtaxrelief.org, they can help you recover that money. The way it works is they do all the legwork up front. You give them your information, they go figure out whether or not they can get you that money, again, up to $26,000 per employee, if you kept them employed and on the payroll during that challenging time. It's not a loan. It's actually a grant from the government. And they are so, you know, behind, because this is typical bureaucratic government, that they still have all this money that they haven't given out. And people are dying with all this red tape. Like, how do I do this? Well, you go to COVID taxrelief.org, and they'll help you. So they will take a commission effectively. As soon as you get the money, well, they get paid as well. It's worth checking out. A lot of people don't realize that they qualify for this. And we had the one of the partners on the show just the other day, and he was explaining it to me. They have just been able to recover so much for so many business owners, and it's wonderful to see. So again, if you did the right thing, if you kept people employed, if you kept them on the books during those really dark days, well, good news, light at the end of the tunnel. Make sure you go to covidtaxrelief.org and see how much you qualify for. Good, good stuff. Government funds are available. It's all through the CARES Act. But like I said, typical government, lots of red tape. Let covidtaxrelief.org give you a hand. So I'm watching these markets, and yes, volatility is certainly back. I'm actually really preparing for something not so good. I'm actually quite worried about the markets. I'm quite worried about the economy. And the reason for that is because the Fed is finally realizing what I have said all along. And you know what I've said, and that's that we're going to continue to have inflation because too many errors were committed along the way. In other words, the Fed was out there printing for so long. Joe Biden, I mean, Joe Biden would still be handing out checks, right? If he could, Joe Biden wants to give $10,000, $20,000 to anybody who ever went to college. He's worried about inflation and yet wants to hand out more money. Wonder how that works. Oh gosh, he's really not bright. I mean, he's just not bright. Anyway, because of all these series of events, because of poor planning, because of mismanagement, we're going to be looking at a really challenging time. I mean, I've said it's kind of Carter 2.0, and unfortunately, it's kind of coming to fruition here, and we're looking at some, I suspect, dark days. It's one of the reasons why I keep saying, make sure you're diversified. I mean, hey, the plus side is maybe you can actually make something in a treasury bond. I mean, who would have thought 4-5%, I bet you anything, we're above 5 on the 6-month treasury relatively soon. So these are places where you can park your money. You can also look at municipal bonds because there's some tax incentives for that. The other thing you can do is look at things like gold and silver. I'm not your investment advisor. I'm going to make that very, very, very clear. But there are ways to diversify. Gold is something that I actually personally always like having a little bit of in my portfolio only because it helps generally to even out some of the volatility you see. I mean, when all HELL breaks loose, that's when you probably want that gold in your portfolio, or you'll want that gold in the safe deposit box or in the vault somewhere. So if you're interested in doing this, one of our wonderful sponsors, actually the first sponsor on this show, that's how you know they're really good guys, happens to be Legacy Precious Metals. And they can help you set up a gold portfolio, gold-backed IRA, or actually purchase the stuff yourself. I just learned the other day, you know, you can fit a whole $1 million. If you just have $1 million hanging around, you can fit $1 million in a shoebox. Interesting, interesting little data point, you know, just to know. Anyway, give them a ring, 1-866-589-0560, or go to legacypminvestments.com for your free investing guide. Again, legacypminvestments.com for your free investing guide. They will take good care of you. But this market, yeah, it's getting tricky, and I think it's going to continue to get trickier. We're in a weird place because you see, all of a sudden, people are realizing, wait a second, I'm out of stimulus money. So this means maybe you had originally two earners in a family and then you went down to one earner in a family. Well, now the other one is saying, wait, I got to go back to work because we do actually need more money because there's so much inflation and everything costs so much more. So there was an interesting piece just last week in the Wall Street Journal talking about the return of women to the workforce, which, you know, is great for women, although I'm a big believer in women doing whatever women want to do. And I think that it's a wonderful thing to be a mom and a wife. And if you have the luxury to be able to be that full time, that's a great thing. I mean, in some ways it shouldn't be a luxury. I think back and kind of nostalgically to a different era when everyone's mom stayed home and everybody had two parents. And this was kind of just a normal way of living. You look at today's society with the divorce rate being what it is, with so many children being born to single moms, And I don't think it's a good thing. I know how hard it is to be a parent. Trust me, it's not a good thing. You need two people there to kind of keep the wheels on the bus. But so many women now are going back to work. And so the thinking should be, okay, well, now that more people are joining the workforce again, you can see workforce participation rate, it will hopefully go up. And as a result, you're going to have more money in the economy, right? Like more people around spending money. And so the Fed is going to have to do something about it. If you don't actually rein this inflation in, then you're going to be carting wheelbarrows worth of dollars around. I remember Weimar Germany. That image can come to mind. Inflation is a very, very dangerous thing. And once it gets embedded into an economy, it's a very hard thing to stop. So be on the lookout. I am constantly on inflation watch. I used to be on deflation watch. That was prior to COVID-19. Anyway, I do tend to be ahead of the curve. I believe I was probably the only person saying in summer of 2020, watch out. We're going to have massive inflation. It's going to be very hard to cure. And I was right. I was right. Okay. One more thing I got to tell you about before I go. And that's Fluffy, who's doing really, really well. And you know why he's doing so well? He's doing so well because I feed him the best vitamin supplement in the world. It's called Rough Greens. It was created by Dr. Dennis Black. Dr. Black's a former Vietnam era helicopter pilot. He's a former Army Ranger. He's like the whole real deal. And he's got a couple of really, really big dogs. And they love this stuff. And they've benefited so much from it. I had some challenges with Fluffy, my adorable little Fluffy, because of his allergies. I actually talked to a lot of you guys about it on Facebook, and you wrote in with so many great ideas on how to help him. What I found ultimately was that I needed to make some changes in his diet. No chicken, for example. Fluffy gets no chicken. But in addition to the diet changes, I needed to give him a supplement. I needed to give him a vitamin to make sure that he was getting all the nutrients and all the digestive enzymes and the probiotics and all the vitamins and all those things that help him be the fluffy, happy, wonderful dog that he is. So I sprinkle a little bit on his food every single day. He eats it up. He loves, loves, loves the taste of this stuff. So it's worked out really well. Well, you can get a free Jumpstart trial bag. Dr. Black is offering this right now for fans of the Trish Regan Show. Just go to Rough Greens, R-U-F-F, greens.com/Trish. My name, Rough Greens. .com/Trish. Go there for your free Jumpstart trial bag. All you have to do is pay for shipping and give it a shot. See how your dog responds to this. I suspect he'll like it. Make sure you let me know. Anyway, if you have not subscribed to this channel, please do me that favor. Make sure you subscribe today, right now. Hit the subscribe button. Hit the bell. The bell is really, really important because as we fight back against all this shadow banning, I need you to know that I'm here, and tell your friends as well. That would be wonderful. I will see you again tomorrow.